Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we've been kind of going back and forth a little bit, but I want to start at about verse 22 of the 12th chapter of Matthew. We've been over some of this, and then, you know, I'll get ahead and then I'll go back. I did it in Hebrews on the other on Wednesday night. But let's start at verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, that is, the Pharisees went out and held a council in verse 14 against him, how they might destroy him. Now, we have to think about who Jesus is. You know, he's God. He is creator. The scripture tells us that it was the second person of the Godhead who created everything. And we're going to see that. And we see it in Hebrews. We see it in Matthew. Now, in Matthew, Jesus is dealing with Jews primarily who are steeped in Judaism and think that they're righteous before God because, quote unquote, they are God's chosen people. In Hebrews, we have, I believe the author is Apollos. It had to be somebody who wasn't an eyewitness, you know, because the things that were seen by the others were confirmed unto the writer of the book of Hebrews by them that heard him. Now, if you look at your Bible and the authorship, and if you have a Scofield Bible, it says the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. Now, it couldn't be written by Paul. Let me read the proof text, and then we'll come back to Matthew. It says in the second chapter, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or get away from us. For if the word spoken by angels, and God used angels in time past, and they dealt directly with certain men. And he says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. In other words, if the people didn't do what the angels told them they were supposed to do, then it would bring about a judgment. Okay? Then so he says, how to us now, in the age in which this was written, and this is written to Jews that are saved, or at least have made a profession of faith in Christ, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by whom? By the Lord. Now notice what it says next. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So, the writer of the book of Hebrews was not an eyewitness of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, it couldn't be any of the 12, for Judas was the devil. And it couldn't be the Apostle Paul, who was chosen to replace Judas. You know, the election that the apostles had in the early chapter of Acts was totally of the flesh. And they elected Matthias, and I think Matthias's name is mentioned in just as a companion of someone in one other epistle. But Matthias is never heard of again after the election. Now, what's the book of Acts called? The Acts of the whom?
Apostles.
Yeah. So, the apostles, Paul and Peter primarily. You read the book of Acts, and the first half of it's mostly about Peter. It starts about the seventh chapter with the stoning of Stephen and all of that type of thing. The eighth chapter, Paul's, you know, trying to persecute the church. And in the ninth chapter, Paul gets saved. And the rest of the book of Acts is about whom? the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So Paul was an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was more than likely the rich young ruler. You know? And when you read the book of Galatians and the testimony of the Apostle Paul about his salvation and read about the rich young ruler, you know, the rich young ruler had to get his mind changed. The Apostle Paul had to get his mind changed. You and I had to get our minds, what, changed. Because all of us think, just like the Jews did, just like all of the religions of the world think, they think according to a way which seemeth right unto a man. Now, it's amazing to me when preachers don't ask questions. Yeah. I guess I have an inquiring mind. They used to say that on TV. I don't know who had an inquiring mind. But when I read that the term the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, doesn't anybody have any curiosity about that to ask, what is a knowledge of good and evil? By definition, what is it? It's morality. And then, what are all of the religious systems of the world based upon? Morality. But who planted that tree? It wasn't God. It was the devil. Okay. And it is a counterfeit of the tree of life. We have the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed or charged to our account. We don't have any righteousness or any acts that we do that are, quote-unquote, well-pleasing to God. The only way we can please God is to believe Him. The just are to live how? By faith. And without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please Him. It's no different with the patriarchs in the Old Testament, you know, or the Jews when they, in their self-righteousness, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. If you go to the average church under the canopy of Christianity or to any religious system in the world, they all have some sort of system of morality. You know, with the, not the Muslims, but the India.
Hindus.
If you're born untouchable, you cannot change your status. You have to live your life as an untouchable and then die. And then, of course, according to the tenets of Hinduism, to be born as another person at a little higher level. Because hopefully you did some things as an untouchable that gave you, a step up. And then last of all, to be born as a high Hindu, you got it made. But they don't have any hope at all because they all know, just like we should all know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But religion is based upon a knowledge of good and evil. What was the tree that Adam and Eve were not to eat of? A tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is, by definition, a knowledge of good and evil? It's morality. And if you say anything against morality, oh my gosh, those people teach grace. They're saying you can do, as a believer, you can do anything you want. Well, it really doesn't work that way, because whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. But they never read the verse of Scripture that says, you died with Christ, so you're dead. So if I'm dead, my life is what? It's hid with Christ in God. So my life, as far as what I'm doing, you may see me do something I shouldn't do. I may see you do something you shouldn't do. Why? Because we live in bodies of flesh which have a sin nature. And just because we get saved doesn't mean we get rid of the sin nature. So all of this talk under the canopy of Christianity and all of the talk that the Jews had, and we're going to see, who was it that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ? The common people heard him gladly because they didn't have any status in the Judaic system, you know, with all of the, you know, holier-than-thou people that led it. Yeah. So they, you know, if a man was a leper, well, he must have done something terribly wrong because he's a leper. Yeah. And we caught this woman, and think about this over the Gospel of John. We caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Yeah. But they only brought the woman. If they caught her in the very act, and by the time they came to the temple, it was about dawn, or about, you know, maybe at that time of the year, 6 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock in the morning, how are you going to know that some woman is going to be committed adultery at 6 a.m.? Chances are it's one of you rascals that's going to be committed adultery with her, and so they didn't bring the man. I guess I've got a weird sense of humor or something, but she had to be doing it with somebody else, you know. And you commit adultery, women with men, men with women, and they didn't bring the man. And unless they were doing some weird stuff, they should have been able to catch him first. And I don't like to be so specific, but the bottom line is people pretend that they don't know about these things. And by their pretended holiness. Oh, do you know what that pastor said? I heard him say damn. Yeah, it's all through the scriptures. And I heard him say hell. Yeah, it's all through the scriptures. You know, damn means judged. And hell is a real place where the unsaved of this world will be sent. It's not a swear word. It's a place. You know? And we get all of these things. And the one that really amazes me is for unlawful carnal knowledge. You know, that's where that word came from. And, you know, if they're really angry with you, they use it. And if they want to be intimate with a woman, or, you know, a woman wants to be intimate with a man, they use it. Does that make any sense? You know, people are crazy. And they think they're smart. So let's come back to the book of Matthew now. And he said, the Pharisees went out and held a council in verse 14. Against him. Now, in Jesus Christ, there was no sin at all. What did they hold the council about? They couldn't find any fault in him because in him was no sin at all. So what's the council about? He's not walking according to their traditions. And their traditions or their concepts of what it takes to be holy were just inventions of man that gave man a sense of being right with God when he wasn't. Because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So when we compare these two books, Matthew and Hebrews, and we're studying them at the same time, one, we see the public ministry of our Lord primarily with unsaved Jews. But then we're going to see that he healed virtually all of the people that followed him. And these were unsaved people. And they followed him because they recognized in him that he must be the Messiah. But the heads of the synagogues, priests in the temple, Levites, they were a tribe that when they were in the wilderness, and they had to move, they would take the tabernacle in the wilderness apart And part of taking it apart was to take the veil and release it from the ceiling and walk and cover the Ark of the Covenant. When you see pictures in Sunday school books of the Ark of the Covenant with the wings spread out and the mercy seat and the priest carrying it, that never happened. No one could see that. That represented God. No. It was always covered with a veil. You know, the veil blocked their eyes, and only the high priest could go within the veil once a year, and he couldn't do that without first making a sacrifice for his own sin and then for the sin of the people. So all of this sinlessness that people talk about, a moral life to honor God. How do we honor God saying, I'm good enough? How can that bring any honor to God? The Lord, God himself, who is omniscient, and that means he knows everything, from all eternity chose us, those of us that are redeemed, he chose us in Christ. Long before we were ever born, we were chosen. And so at a point in time, the gospel was preached, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God gave us the faith to believe it. So there's no merit whatsoever in our relationship with the Lord. We're sinners saved by grace. So he goes on to say, but when Jesus knew it, you know, they were seeking how to destroy him, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. And notice what he did. The religious rulers, you know, they were plotting to kill him, but the common people heard him gladly, and they followed him. And what did he do? If any of them had illnesses, they were all healed. So the big mucky mucks who didn't need it, any healing in their mind, either spiritually or physically, you know, they rejected him, but the common people heard him gladly. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah. We have it spelled with an E here because of the difference between Greek and Hebrew and a transliteration from one language to another. Spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, that's the Lord, Jesus Christ, whom I have chosen. This is the Father speaking about the Son, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. Christ was born of a virgin, you know, so that he could be both God and man. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show not judgment, but justice to the Gentiles. Yeah. Now, the Gentiles, as far as the Jews were concerned, every Gentile was going to hell. But the Gentiles heard our Lord gladly. And the Jews, who were supposed to be the chosen people of God, he chose them, gave them the law and so forth, because they were lifted up in pride and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Basically, the churches under the canopy of Christianity are saying the same things. Look at us. You know, and we have to be holy. You know, we are holy. I don't know what that means. You know, I have a pair of socks every now and then that get a hole in them. Does that make me, I'm walking on holy ground? Because one of my socks has got a hole in the heel. I mean, it gets to be ridiculous. No, holiness means that the way they use it, holy just means to be separate. But the way the Jews meant it, holiness meant to be like God. Fused very much like the churches under the canopy of Christianity in the day in which we live. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you something. Even though we've been saved by grace, and God sees us, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. And the only thing that we can be, that we can do that's remembered by God is He gives us certain spiritual gifts, and when we act in those by faith, they will be remembered and will be given crowns for them at the judgment seat of Christ. And like the 24 elders in the book of the Revelation, they all have crowns on their head, and one figure in the middle has a crown upon his head, and they take their crown from their heads. This is what we're going to do with our rewards when the Lord rewards us at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll take the rewards from our head and cast them before the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can't preach the Word of God without the Spirit of God enabling me to. Eric can't do it either. You can't serve the Lord in any capacity in and of yourself. God gives you certain spiritual gifts. You may not even know what your spiritual gift is, but you operate in it. And for those things that we do by faith, operating in the gifts that God has given us, when He rewards us for it, then we take those crowns, because only He is worthy to reign, and we cast them before the feet of the Lord. Now think about the Christian that rarely comes to church. He's saved. And when you talk to him, you know he's saved. But his attendance in church is rather reprehensible. And you say, the Lord said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but I had this to do and I had that to do, and I just didn't have enough time this week to sleep as much as I wanted to, and I stayed up and watched football games till the wee hours in the morning, and I couldn't get up this morning. Okay. Well, that's a good excuse. But we're not going to be judged for sin. We're going to be judged for what we do by faith, and just being here is an act of faith. And for that, we'll be rewarded, and then the rewards aren't ours, really. They're His. We can't do them without Him. And, we have to, first of all, be saved. Secondly, we have to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, and by the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, and the gifts that God activates in us, we do something in His capacity, or, something for Him. And what? Even that, no difference how many years I've been in the ministry. I serve Him because He saved me. I'm here because I love Him. He loved me and gave Himself for me. There were times, I can remember one time, I was supposed to be here at 7 o'clock for a Wednesday night service. It was 6 o'clock and I was still on Indian Ridge. Indian Ridge, by any normal standards, is an hour and a half from Eugene. I came off that mountain so fast, and down Highway 126, I was probably doing 90 a good percentage of the time. There wasn't any traffic on the road, or I couldn't have done it. But I walked in that door 2 minutes to seven. Ordinarily, I get here 2 hours early. And I figured, if I get a ticket for it, I'll get a ticket for it. But I'm supposed to preach tonight, and I'm going to preach tonight. Now, I'm not boasting that at all. That's just where my mind is. He loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm here to because of certain gifts that He's given me, so I can share the Word of God with you, share experiences with you, so that we all might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if anyone ought to be here, it ought to be the pastor. And if anybody ought to be on time, it ought to be the pastor. I've always, and there were times when I couldn't do it, but even on Wednesday night, I'm usually here 4:30 or 5 o'clock. You know, there are lots of times I just stayed and didn't go home. But now, with my heart in the condition it is, and I sleep a lot now. You know, and I've worked it out. By getting enough sleep, I'm able to, you know, preach with more authority, you know, and without a lot of and forgetfulness, you know, because the amount of oxygen that gets into your brain has something to do with your capacity to remember, you know. So I get here early enough, and I go over things, and sometimes I say, well, I'm ready to go, so I might play a few games of free cell. This morning, because our website went down and I accidentally deleted an email to pay for it, and I wasn't smart enough how to retrieve it, and so we got it retrieved, and that's why I was late coming into the Sunday school, because I was trying to get the website back up and running, you know, and paid for it with a credit card. And I finally found a note, you know, to find out that it's TierraNet that we have our, you know, there's a number of, what do they call them?
Domains,
yeah. And it's TierraNet that we use, but I didn't know that. And I called one that I thought we were using, and they just kept telling me, well, we can't find your name. And I was talking to some rather delightful Mexicans, you know, and they hadn't been in this country very long because they had a very heavy accent. You know, at least they could speak English, I think. But they were having a hard time understanding me. And I was spelling things for them. And then I came to find out that I had the wrong, domain. And then I thought, oh, we made up a file years ago. I wonder if it's in there. Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Because I don't normally deal with those things. You know. And so it wasn't right at my fingertip. Let's go on. So he says, concerning the Lord, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. You know, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Well, in those days they had oil lamps, and they would put a piece of flax in the old lamps were like Aladdin's lamp, looked like a teapot. And out the spout was a piece of flax. And then it would draw the oil, olive oil. You know, even the cheap stuff that we buy, they just used olive oil. I don't know how many pressings they got, but basically that was one of the primary products of the Middle East, olives. You know? And Joanne always liked at least two, maybe three olives in her martinis. She was more interested in the olive than she was the martini. I like those green olives too. Okay. So he goes on to say, then was brought unto him one possessed with a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him. You know, we think of, we see people with what we call birth defects, and various things of the sort. Yeah. And in the old days, those things were often caused by demon possession. Yeah. Now, I don't want you to look at anybody that's got a problem, say, he's demon possessed. You know, we don't know that that's true in the day in which we live. But in ancient times, it was true. Blind people could be demon possessed. And Jesus would cast out the demon and they'd receive their sight. So it's basically we're all possessed of one devil, as when we're born into this world, because we think according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or according to our morality. And even though there's over 4,000 different systems of morality in the world, they all think they're going to heaven because of their morality. And no one's going to heaven because of their morality. Everyone that's trusting his morality to go to heaven is going to hell. You know, the only ticket to heaven is Christ to fulfill every jot and tittle of the law. That means from, like in English, the dotting of an I to the crossing of a T, the smallest marks in the English language. Christ fulfilled it completely. You know, only he used the Greek language as an example. You know. Okay, a jot or a tittle. Yeah, very small marks. So he healed this man, and all the people were amazed. And these are the common people. This isn't being said by the rulers who tried to kill him. Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, and the Pharisees were all lifted up like Saul of Tarsus, you know, he was so self-righteous, when he heard Stephen preach, he hired men so that he could stone him to death for blasphemy. Yeah. And we know that he's the one that hired him because he held their clothes. Ordinarily, when you stoned anyone to death, the accuser would stone the accusee. Yeah. In other words, if you were accused of adultery, yeah, and you're the husband of a wife and you think she's been fooling around on you, then it was your job to cast the first stone. Now, isn't that, that's really something. It takes a lot of self-righteousness for that. Because I can't think of anybody who has a sin nature, who has never thought, you know, and thinking is doing, as far as the law is concerned. You know. So, you know, I don't want to get down on anybody. I'm getting down on myself. But the fact is, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's what Jesus was teaching these Jews who were self-satisfied that they'd kept the law when they never even came close. And that's the problem. You know, people get upset with us when we talk about various churches that are dependent upon their behavior to maintain their salvation. They're lost. Because if their trust was in the Lord, they would know you can't lose your salvation. And if they were truly saved and had grown at all, they would know that the redeemed were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. God knowing everything, past, present, and future, that we would ever do. And if we should say, as believers, that we have no sin, what's the scripture say?
Deceiver.
You're deceived, and the truth is not in you. No. In other words, you're not operating according to the truth. You may be saved, but you're not operating like you're saved. When you judge other people for what you do, you're not operating as if you are a saved man. Because we're to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as what? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. So, you know, all of this nonsense that goes on in the name of, oh, they said something against me. They made me feel bad. They did this. They did that. Well, grow up. You know? We're crying out loud. We live in a world in which if we were judged like the Jews were under the law, I wouldn't be here. You know, I would have been stoned to death long ago. Why? Didn't make any difference what I've done. I'm not sinless. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So when Jesus healed these people, all the people were amazed in verse 23 and said, is not this the son of David? Well, yeah, by extension, Christ is the son of David. Yeah. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, oh, I saw Andre go into a bar. Yeah. I guess he didn't watch long enough to see me bring my mother and father-in-law out, and then we went in to have supper. You know, or I know he didn't see me order Jack Daniels for supper. Okay. So, and the scripture doesn't say anything against drinking. It just says, be not drunk with wine wherein is, what? Excess. And in fact, it commands us in the psalm, give strong drink. And we've talked about, in times past, we didn't always have derivatives of heroin to anesthetize us during surgery or some other drug. Yeah. This fellow doth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons. Does that make sense for the prince of the demons to be lessening the number of people that are demon-possessed? See, it makes no sense at all. Okay. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub, which is the devil, cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them? They all claim that they can heal and do this and that. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the Spirit of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his goods. He that is not with me is what? Against me. No. So, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. I may say some things from time to time that you've never heard before. Well, if I preach something from this pulpit that you may never have heard, for example, I wrote a book one time. I have written five and was in the process of writing the sixth one when Joanne got ill. And then after she died, then I've had so much trouble with my heart that I can't spend the time doing the things I used to do. And I'd spend all day here and half the night sometimes. And after I got that all done, then I remodeled this church by myself at night. There used to be a dining room in the back and French doors back there. And there used to be a kitchen in this section over here. And back where the kitchen was, that was the back porch. It was outside. And the sink used to be, the pipes were still there under the drapes. They were on the left side, and over here is where the stove was, on this side of where the chimney goes up there. And in that little alcove for the chimney, you had to have a smaller refrigerator, but it fit there. This building's vastly different than it used to be, And study all day and work all night. And you know what? Joanne never complained. And back when I was still working in the two-way radio business and putting in as much overtime as I could, because I don't think until I bought or started my own shop, I don't think I ever made over $3.50-$4 an hour. I think $3.50 is what I got paid when I first got here. And when I left Smith's and went to work for Rice, he was supposed to be paying me more, but the paycheck was smaller because he had a way of that was legal to do the overtime, that I actually got paid less money for overtime than I did for straight time. And it was legal. So I got tired of that and went to work for another shop. I got tired of that and started my own. And then when I had the fall from the tower, realized the Lord was talking to me. I said, time for me to get back in the ministry. No, I quit because I was discouraged, because some people full of self-righteousness accused Brother Stewart of all kinds of things. And they didn't have one ounce of proof. But even if he had done everything that they said that he had done, so had they. How do I know that? Because I know how man's mind works. And what's the scripture say? Against an elder, that's pastor, received not an accusation, but by two or three witnesses. They didn't have a single one. Accused him of some terrible things. And just before he died, he said, you know, Dale, he was with us for 17 months. And he said, these days have been the happiest days of my life. Yeah. And I thought, after as badly as he was mistreated, and he built the largest fundamental church west of the Mississippi. But when he wrote a little book called The Sufficiency of Grace, they all got upset because, what is this sufficiency of grace? I'm holy. That's when the rub really comes. People don't like the concept that they can't boast about the fact, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't spit, I don't chew, I don't this, I don't that. And one thing for sure that all those don'ts don't do, I don't put any money in the offering plate. I've got more important places to put it. I remember when our first church failed. And, of course, straight out of Bible college, I was doing things by the book back in those days. Not this book, but by the things I'd been taught. So one of the ladies in the church said, I want to see the books. I said, well, your brother is the treasurer of the church. You can see him anytime you want. Then she looked at him and found out the greatest contributor to that church was me. Or was I, proper grammar, And she never said another word. She might put in 50 cents a week, but I want to see the book. Well, we were on Saturdays when it was off. Every other weekend, I'd have a three-day weekend. So when it was off on that three-day weekend, I skied on the ski patrol. So I was skiing free. The only thing it was costing me any money to, back in those days, to ski, was the fact that, the gas to get there. And I think it was about 28 cents a gallon at that time. Thank you, Mr. Biden. Okay. Let me take this a little bit further, and then we'll close. Okay. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men. When a man takes the word of God and tries to make it the product of the devil, or he says of saved people, they're sinners. Yeah, we certainly are. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And if we as believers should say that we have no sin, what does it say? The truth, that's Jesus Christ, is not in us. So all of this, holier than thou, and I won't say the word, but it's just so much crap. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So he says, and this will set us up, I was going to take us to Romans again, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Now, I'll mark that so I come back there next time. In the garden, there's all kinds of fruit trees. God planted all the trees. And Adam and Eve lived in the garden, and so everything they needed to eat was on the trees. But there were two trees. One in the midst was called the tree of life. And right next to it, and we learned this later on, when the enemy sowed tares amongst the wheat, right next to it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil spoke to Eve. And she says, "You won't surely die. For Elohim doth know." God doth know. That's God in the plural form. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. For the God, who is a plural God, doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall be like the translator God, but it's the same word, plural. Ye shall be like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so she was deceived in the eating of that tree. And what did she get? And nobody ever asked the question. And a lot of stupid preachers are afraid to ask the question. What is a knowledge of good and evil? What is the definition of right and wrong? You know, or what is the, I said it wrong. What is the definition of morality? It's knowing the difference between right and wrong. What is right and wrong? Good and evil. There, I got it out right. Okay? So what's all religion based upon? Man's morality. And man's been trying to sanctify his morality from the time that Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. He ate of it out of love for Eve, because he knew that God would provide a redeemer, but it had to be through him. He had to sin in order to bring the Christ into the world, because all the blood that flows in the vein of a child comes from its father, and none of it comes from its mother. That's why a woman can have a sinless, spotless son. One woman, Eve, or not Eve, but Mary. One woman. And what? She brought the Christ into the world. So who is the Father? God. Who is the Son? God. Yeah. And who was the woman that brought her into the world? Mary. And that certainly wasn't in 2 months. Yeah, December 25th. Lambs are born in the spring. The shepherds were watching their flocks. I'll get it out. Yeah. Well, in this day, we have a fleet of cars. You know. And in that day, they had a flock of sheep. And when did they watch their flocks by night? Only one time in the year, during lambing. Why? Because if you had all those sheep in a sheepfold, they'd be so close together, when the ewes had dropped the lambs wouldn't survive. They would be trampled to death before they could get to their feet. That's why the shepherds were watching their flock by night. And the Magi, if you want to call them that, they didn't get there then. If you read the scriptures, they got there 2 years later, or close to 2 years later. And they didn't come to the manger. Read it in Matthew's gospel. They came into the house. Yeah. Into the house. They weren't in the house when Christ was born. They were in the barnyard, the manger, a feeding trough. Yeah. And so much of tradition just takes simple little facts, and the devil inserts one error after another. Yeah. And so you have people celebrating this and celebrating that, and Christ wasn't born on December 25th. I can't remember the name of the priest that said he was born then, but he was just guessing. Because if he had any understanding at all, he had to be born at about the time of the birth of the Passover lamb. The Passover lambs had to be lambs of the first year. Now, what's that mean? They were born and they get to Passover the next year, and a whole year hasn't elapsed yet. Lambs of the first year, as far as in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you. for the marvelous truth of your word. We pray that you'll bless it to our hearts and strengthen us by it. And we pray that each of us might grow in grace and in the knowledge of thee, and that each of us might understand, sure, good behavior is better than bad behavior, but none of us have behavior that could make us accepted with God. So we don't depend upon our behavior. We depend upon the Word of God and the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God to serve the Lord who indwells us. We praise you and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.